Hi, welcome to The Bridge Podcasts. We hope you enjoy the following message. For more information on all that's happening at The Bridge Church, please visit www.bridge-church.com.
Today, I want to just start a series that we're going to do for like 3 weeks, and it's an equipped series. It's an equipped series. It's so that we'll be ready for anything that happens in the future. When we're equipped for something, we're ready for whatever happens, isn't it? I remember running a 56-mile marathon. And when you run a 56-mile marathon, if there's anything you want to eat on the way, you got to have it in your wee pouch. You got to have it with you. If there's any vitamins or any energy boosters, you got to have it with you. They give you drinks along the way, but they don't give you anything else. So you got to have it with you. So you can't start out on a journey. It's like David and Mark walked from John O'Groats to Carlisle, Gretna Green, and that was a 2-week walk. They were equipped all the way. They prepared all the way for overnight stops. They prepared for food along the way. They prepared for all of that as they were going along the way. You see, that you have to be prepared for things in life. You know, if you're doing anything, you got to be prepared for it. If you're a young person and you're doing exams, you've got to be prepared for the exams. You've got to study for the exams. You've got to get yourself ready for anything. My daughter, Denise, when she got married, it was like a year before the wedding that we started preparing. We're preparing, and everything, there was not a detail that was missed. Not a detail that was missed, because why? On the wedding day, everything had to be ready. And I'm going to show you that in as I talk about the five foolish virgins and the five wise virgins. But to be prepared means, someone once says, if you want peace, prepare for war. If you want peace, prepare for war. So in countries that are demilitarizing, when you demilitarize, you open your doors for anyone that wants to come in and take over your nation. So if you want peace, you've got to be in a place where you're ready for war, so that there's no, the threat against you is liquidated. Are you with me? It's like, you know, I'm not speaking against pacifists or anything, you know. What I'm saying is, it's just the way of things. You can't do away with all your weaponry and think everybody's going to say, well, we don't want your goods or anything. History proves that it doesn't work that way. So we've got to be prepared for eventualities. How many of you realize that? You know, sometimes you got to be prepared for the unexpected. Sometimes your friends will die, your parents will die, your siblings may die, and bless God that this doesn't happen, but everybody dies. But if you're not prepared for it, it can devastate your life. So I was in a place called Tete in northern Mozambique. And there was, that time I was there, there was 450,000 children going to die that year in Mozambique. So everywhere you looked, there was children with malnutrition. There was no food. There was zero food. There was no rats. There was no mice. There was nothing, because all the rats, all the snakes, all the mice, everything had been eaten. Are you with me? And so the kids would go swimming in the Zambezi River, the crocs would come, take the kids, and the kids would continue swimming. because that was a better death than the death they faced through starvation. But they treated death in a different way because they were preparing themselves for it. Do you get it? When you're prepared for something that's going to happen, then you're going to come through that successfully. Knowing that there's a hope and there's a future, just like God says, there's a future and a hope involved in everything. You know, so you're not a fatalist in your mentality. You're always full of hope, believing that something good is going to happen. But something, up to the last few minutes yesterday, it looked like Scotland could get a scudding. And it's like, we're hoping. Sometimes you hope against hope, but you're hoping. But even if they didn't, you're prepared for it. Are you with me?
Yeah.
So we got to prepare for things. Schools, we give the education of our children and the responsibility to the schools to educate our children for life. But really, we're the ones that need to prepare our children for life. We're the ones that we can't abdicate responsibility. We've got to prepare our children for life, and we can't blame the school authorities for our children not being the way they should. That we got to prepare our children. Church, we got to prepare our children for life also, life in the Spirit, life in Christ. We got to prepare our children. If our children go on another route, it's not society that's to blame. It's our responsibility. And, you know, we've got to prepare them. Nudge your neighbor and say, you're a wee. We're all wees. We are all here as part of a community, part of society. We're all responsible for society. We're all responsible for the outcome of society. We're responsible for our government, so don't complain about the government. You put them there. Do you know what I'm saying? It's like the only way we can change it is to pray and change the government. Ask God to raise up and take out and all that sort of thing. It's the way it is, and we can't change it. So it's like we've got to prepare for things, enable people to do things through preparation. And really, our function as a church is a place of, church is a place of enablement. Church is a place of enablement where you get enabled for the future. It's what prepares you for eternity. It's not just your 90 years or 100 years or whatever. There's someone, I think, alive 130 years old. But even at that, it enables you to be fruitful during your duration here on earth as well. So we've got to... Our job as a church, God gave us, is people that are representing Him and ministers of reconciliation, reconciling people back to the values of life. Reconciling people back to the values of life. I spoke to someone recently, it was a non-Christian conversation. I have lots of those with non-Christians. And they talked about when I was a boy, okay, they took that when I was a... And they said, the streets were full of people on a Sunday morning, families all going to church. That's what it was like when we were younger. The church bells would be ringing, and you'd just see everybody walking down the street, families all walking down the street towards church. It's the way things used to be. Because when you come out of a war and the losses of a war, people realize that God's real. People realize, hey, there's more to life than what we've been prepared for. So that's what God sets people in position so that you will be prepared for that. Somebody somewhere has prepared you for something. You just haven't heard them. You see, you've got to open your eyes and open your ears to hear what the Spirit of God is saying. So the Spirit of God is always speaking, but we don't always hear what he's saying. Are you with me? So in Luke 1:17, the Bible says, he will, in the New King James Version, he will also go before him in the spirit and the power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. So this is talking about John the Baptist, and it says he'll go forth in the spirit of Elijah. Well, what they're talking about was the last phrase used in the Old Testament before 400 years of silence in the Bible. And in Malachi 4, 5, and 6, the prophet says that he will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children back to the fathers. And if not, there'll be a curse in the land. So for 400 years, it was like Amos said that there was a famine of the word. There was no word. No one could hear the word. No one shared the word. There was no one talking about the things of God. And then in Luke 1:17, it's the prophet says John the Baptist is coming. The angel came to Zacharias and says that you're going to have a child, etc. And here comes John the Baptist. Well, John the Baptist came to turn the hearts of the children back to the fathers. And hearts of the fathers to the children. Are you with me? So God wants us to turn our hearts back to... Listen, it's a turning of a heart that takes people away. You can prepare someone and they can be at the point of acceptance and they hear something negative and they turn away because it's according to their sensibilities or it's according to their paradigms of life, the things that they've been taught up to that moment in time. They'll run with that, but they won't run with the truth. And that it's only when you're confronted with the truth that the truth will set you free. And that was what John the Baptist came as, someone to prepare the way, to prepare the way for us. There's a way that we need to understand as people, no matter if you're a Christian or a non-Christian, there's ways that are prepared for people that are in society that we have to conform to those ways, which are called laws of the land, and we've got to stick by those laws of the land. Are you with me? So God has a way of bringing his people back to him. The word says this, and that's what the word says, and turn the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And that's what we're going to do in the future. We are going to make people ready for the Lord. We're going to prepare you for those things that will come in life, because the Bible says that in the last days, there's many things will come. There'll be signs in the heaven above and signs in the earth beneath. There'll be deception. There'll be false prophets, false teachers. All of this will come in the last days. But if you're prepared, when you're prepared, you're already Teflon coated in your spirit, and you will not receive a lie. You will not run with the pack that's believing a lie instead of believing the truth. You want to be in heaven one day, and you don't want to have done everything and then up to the last minute and then miss out. So God will always send someone into our lives to prepare us for the future. Will we recognize them, and will we allow ourselves to be affected with the message when they come? One time in my life, I could not be affected with the message. I heard the message of the gospel, but I would not receive it. I said, talk to the hand, the face is not listening. So in that kind of situation, my heart was hard to the gospel because I wasn't going to be a hypocrite. I wasn't going to be one of those that did this and said this and did another thing. I wasn't going to do that. But one day, my heart turned and I started following Christ. And since that day, I've followed Christ ever since. But for a while, I wasn't affected with the message. I believe that there's people sitting here today that will affect people with the message. You will be ministers of reconciliation in such a way that many people will want to come and see you because of words of wisdom that you have, because you know the truth, and they know that there's peace in your life, that when they come to you and you speak to them, something happens to them and the light being around you, and one day they'll say, I want what you've got. And they'll come to know Jesus. Amen? They'll come to know Jesus because they'll be affected with the message of the gospel. But the Bible says this in Amos 3:7. Indeed, the sovereign Lord never does anything until he reveals his plans to his servants, the prophets. Amos 3:7, the NLT version. So God in his sovereignty will always send someone to tell us if something terrible is going to happen. You know, I heard so many stories of 9/11, and there's a book out, you can read so many of these testimonies of 9/11 where people were told, don't go into work today in the Twin Towers. And they heard it, they didn't know why, or something delayed them at home and they missed the normal train or whatever. It was God sending a message to all those. And I think it was last week or the week before I told you about Rodney Howard Brown doing a major outreach campaign there. And he had people traveling up and down the lifts of the Twin Towers for almost 2 months, speaking to everyone about Jesus. God sent the people of the Twin Towers a message. When the tsunami hit in Indonesia, people already had the message. There's many stories of people knowing that what was going to happen there to get out of there. So God always sends a messenger. He will always send someone to tell you that something's going to happen. It'll either be an inward witness or someone that's speaking to you from the outside. Amen? Do you believe it?
Yes.
It's the word of God. It's the truth. It's the truth, John. It's the truth. Yes. Amen. Amen. And that truth's going to set you free, church. I love serving a God that's going to tell me, but how many times have I missed what God has said? How many? We can all put our hand up and say, yeah, I heard them, but I disregarded that. Well, it's, say this with me. Lord, open my ears to hear. The truth when I hear the truth. Wisdom when I hear wisdom. And to know discernment. And not receive the lie. In Jesus' name. And the Bible says in Ephesians 4, and he himself gave some to be apostles. This is God's way of doing it. Gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So God sends his people along. It takes a business person that doesn't want anything to do with Jesus, fills his life with the Holy Ghost, and that business person turns around, moves from one country to another, and starts telling the good news about Jesus to equip the saints so that the saints can all get to heaven one day. And that's what God does. He'll take the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. He'll take them and put them in a place so that when those people are equipped, they will do the work of the ministry. Nudge your neighbor and say, neighbor, are you doing the work of the ministry?
If not, why not? Don't say that to them. But get ready to do it. Get ready to do it. We need to do the work of the ministry. We need to do what God has called us to do. And we need to put our hand to the plow and keep our hands on the plow. And why? Because it's for the edifying of the body of Christ. It's for the building up of people. It's for the building up of the lives of people. People don't understand the lives need built up. People are comfortable in their comfort. That makes sense. People are comfortable in their lethargy. People are comfortable in their apathy. Excuse me for saying this. Forgive me for saying it, but I'm saying it. People are comfortable in their situations. The Israelites were comfortable eating leeks and making bricks with no straw. They were comfortable doing that. You know, whatever. People go to Africa and see all these young children walking about with smiles on their face, even although they've got nothing. They're comfortable in their situation because they don't know anything else. Are you with me? It's only when they see something else that they get uncomfortable in their situation. So we cannot afford to be comfortable in the last days. We've got to be doing what God has told us to do. Matthew 25, 1 to 13 talks about 10 bridesmaids. 5 of them were foolish, 5 were wise. The 5 who were foolish didn't take enough oil for the lamps, but another 5 were wise enough to take along extra oil. When the bridegroom was delayed, they all became drowsy and fell asleep. This is from 1 to 13. When the bridegroom was delayed, they all became drowsy and fell asleep. At midnight, they were roused by the shout, "Look, the bridegroom is coming. Come out and meet him." All the bridesmaids got up and prepared the lamps. Then the 5 foolish ones asked the others, "Please, give me some oil because our lamps are going out." But the others replied, "We don't have enough oil for all of us. Go to the shop and buy some for yourselves." But while they were gone to buy oil, the bridegroom came. Then those who were already went in with him to the marriage feast, and the door was locked. Later, when the other 5 bridesmaids returned, they stood outside calling, "Lord, Lord, open the door for us." But he called back, "Believe me, I don't know you. So you too must keep watch, for you don't know the day or the hour of my return." Jesus in Matthew 24, 25 brings in a story of 3 different parables, but the 3 different parables are all about getting prepared. All about getting prepared. One of the most dangerous things that we have in the world today, in my opinion, is entitlement mentality. So 5 of those virgins thought, "Well, you've got more oil than you need, so give us some." But the 5 wise virgins said, "No, we've only got enough for ourselves because we don't know when it's going to happen. So we're going to be prepared for when he does come, but you haven't prepared. But I'm entitled to it." "Well, you should have bought it." "But the shops are shut." T-U-F-F. But that becomes the reality. I watched a film last week. It was called Empire of the Sun. But anyway, it's about Shanghai and the Japanese coming into Shanghai and all those people, the Brits and Americans that were living in opulence in minutes of time, went from opulence to prison camps. They weren't prepared for it. They knew it was coming. And the wise people moved out. But thousands thought, "Well, it'll never happen to us. They'll come, but it'll not affect us." But it affected them. And so they ended up in prison camps, and many of them died in the prison camps. Because although they had the warning, they didn't prepare themselves and get out of it while they could. It's the way people think. It'll never happen to me. And then it happens. But it's too late when it happens. Amen? So I'm saying to you today, prepare yourself. Be prepared for the work of the ministry. Be prepared to give your testimony. Be prepared for going to heaven. Be prepared for the Lord to come at any time. You know, when I came to Jesus, and David and Gary and Denise, at the time it was all movies about the rapture, and it was these scary movies about the rapture. Everybody's going to go up. And I know the rapture hasn't happened today, because I was talking to Tom Ingalls this morning in Australia, and that's, of course, tomorrow. So, so it's not going to happen today, but it could happen. Are you with me? So, but we've always got to be prepared for whatever happens. So we got to be ready. And when God was sharing these parables, and he likens what... You see, the Word of God never gets old. It's always relevant. It's always relevant. You say, well, that was talking about... That was just a story. It was just a parable about five wise and five unwise bridesmaids. But it's not. It's as relevant today as it was then, that we get ourselves ready in spirit, ready in mind, ready in heart, ready physically. Listen, we need to be physically. The situation in that movie was the elderly people couldn't do it. They were physically not able to do it. So we got to do our best to stay physically fit. We've got to do our best to stay in a place where we're ready for whatever happens in life. You know, there's a story, I can't remember exactly the whole thing in the Bible now, but the Israelites had one of the Israelite daughters were raped by this, was it Abimelech's crowd? I can't remember who it was right now. Anyway, the Israelites said, we'll make a pact with you. We'll not kill you if all the men get circumcised. Okay, men, line up. We're going to do this. Okay, come on, men. We're going to do this. Everybody's going to be circumcised. So everybody gets circumcised. And then 2 days later, the Israelites go into the city and kill everybody. They prepared for the slaughter. When the men were circumcised, they weren't fit to fight in the battle. So the Israelites had prepared already for the slaughter of them. Are you with me? So you've got to prepare for everything that happens in life. So Philippians 1:6 says, for I want you to understand what really matters, so that you may live pure and blameless lives until the day of Christ's return. So there's three things we need to know. We need to know our call, our purpose, and our identity, and where you fit. If you don't know where you fit, then you need to pray and ask God to show you, or come and speak to your pastors, because we can help you. So, you got to know what really matters. I know if I took a straw poll in this room this morning and I said, what really matters to you? Everyone could have a different answer. But what really should matter is our eternity, because that's really all that matters eventually, is where we will spend eternity. Will we spend eternity with God or without God? You know, we see in the world today such unrest. We see that when the name of Jesus is lifted up, that it's like the boundaries come off. We see in our country and countries all over people that don't like the election of an American president, which is neither here nor there. But because the name of Jesus has been lifted up in that place, and one of the world's powers, superpowers, that the devil's got really mad, and he's got people that don't know what really matters out in the streets with placards and everything else, just shouting and being whatever. And you think, well, what really matters? What really matters is the gospel going. What really matters that all would be saved and come to know the glory of God? What really matters is where we will spend eternity. And you know, rulers come and rulers go. But what you do, what your decision in that whole situation is, what your decision to pray for those rulers, your decision to stand morally in front of your family, or stand morally in front of people and say, well, that's the people's choice. And if that's their choice, that's their choice. And I know for me and my, this is what Moses said, or Joshua said, as for me and my household, we'll serve God. Doesn't it matter? As for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. Me and my household, we will serve the Lord. I will take my place in society. I'll be responsible as a member of society. I'll do whatever I can to develop community. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. If I'm going to do anything, I'm doing it from a standpoint of me and my household serving the Lord. Yes. Amen. So the world and the world will make its own choices, but it's your choice not to be swayed by outside influences, but you've got to put the moral standpoint in your children and a viewpoint. No matter what happens, one day you're going to heaven. Yes. Listen, this week they were going to, in Sudan, there was 30 Christian ministers going to be executed by beheading. 30 Christian ministers in the Sudan. How many of you knew about that? You see, this is happening all the time. There's Christians all over the world being martyred. You see, what's our stand? My stand is, no matter what happens, no matter what I'm faced for, will I deny Jesus? No, I won't. Will I die with the way a martyr would die? Yeah, I would. I've made my decision. Paul says, for me to die is gain. So that's me. I mean, let's get the main thing in our life. Let's keep the main thing the main thing. Let's be prepared for whatever God has for us. Oh, I can't do that. What would my friends think? Hey, get over it. Your friends might not be there next week. If you put something on your Facebook page, you know, we live in the most narcissistic society. Society has never been so narcissistic, ever. And we think so much about what everybody else thinks about us when they really are so self-absorbed that they don't give a rip. Maybe I shouldn't be talking like this. But anyway, you've got to have a stand. You've got to stand for something or you'll fall for nothing. So we need to be around wise, influential people, and we need to learn to hang out with the wise. Those who associate with the wise, you become wise. Associate with the rich, you become rich. Associate with the poor in mind and the poor in heart, you become poor. Just get to associating with the right people. Amen. That's not going to throw doubts in every time. If you're around someone that's not coming any closer to God after all your encouragement, you got to think, is this relationship going anywhere? You are the wisdom in their life. Amen. So I want to be around wise, extravagant, and generous people. I want to be the kind of person that loves gregariously. Do you know what gregarious means? Nod your head for yes. I want to be like openly gregarious and just love people. That's where I want to. I want to be known as a wise lover, a generous person. Amen. That's the heart of God. That's the way the Holy Spirit would want us to be. So we got to prepare ahead of time for everything. What's behind is behind. Let's move on. Let me finish with this. John 16, written in my notes, it never transferred. But John 16 says that when the Holy Spirit comes, he will convict the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. He will come. He is coming as the Spirit of truth. So God sends the Holy Spirit to us to speak to us and tell us what's going to happen in life. He's there to prepare us for the future. He's there to prepare us for every eventuality. He's there to lead us and guide us in the way that we could go. Jesus says that it's going to be more fruitful, it's going to be more important for you that I go to be back with the Father in heaven. But when I go, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit who will live and abide with you forever. And when he comes, he will convict the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. And he will lead you into all truth, etc. That's the Holy Spirit's job. But we have to stay close to the Holy Spirit. We have to keep filled with the Holy Spirit. There, when the Spirit of truth comes, you see it there, he will guide you into all truth. He'll not speak of his own, but he will tell you what he has heard. He will tell you about the future. That's a phenomenal promise from God to us to lead us into the future. So what I want is, what I'm looking for, what God is looking for, is us as a prepared church to be prepared to do the work of the ministry. From this day on, we're going to do the work of the ministry. You say, but Pastor, I'm no fit, I'm no this, I'm no that. No. God will help you do all you need to do. Trust in him. Say, Father God, what would I... Yeah, say that. Father God, what would you have me to do to fulfill your will for my life in these days? How can I reach? How can I teach? How can I encourage? How can I build up? Lord, show me. Give me the confidence. Put that design in my life that others would want to be near me, that they would want the same spirit, the same wisdom, the same knowledge and understanding as you have given me. Father, I thank you that you make me infectious with your word, with your love, with your generosity, with your spirit, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Thanks for listening. Remember to visit our website, www.bridge-church.com, and connect with us via Facebook and Twitter.